Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. I am John Schmelk. He is Howard Cross. The Giants coming off a big victory against the Washington Redskins. And Howard, a much-needed win for the Giants. It's their second straight win, and it's a game in which they dominated in the second half of play.
Very interesting, them dominating the second half of play. They've been struggling all year long, especially in the third quarter. They've had a hard time. This game, they turned around and just really blew the doors off of them. I like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think it went two ways, on offense and on defense. And the offense, once again, Howard, powered by rookie Odell Beckham Jr. And really the last couple games, actually, maybe 2 to 4 games, he has been the offense. And once again, he dominates in half number two, over 130 yards receiving, 13 catches. He is simply playing out of his mind, and nobody seems to be able to find a way to stop him.
Well, you know, when everybody knows you're getting the ball and they still can't stop you, that means you're being special. And we've been asking for a while to see a guy to be special. When you're being double teamed, still get open. When things are going seemingly haywire, still make plays. He's playing above the X's and O's, and that's what Coach Coughlin always talks about, having players to make plays above the X's and O's, and he's the guy that's doing it.
12 catches, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns as well. And Howard, in addition to those numbers, he was doing more than that. Over the course of the game, he drew over 80 yards in terms of penalties. You could see him getting into the heads of defenders. He is a true difference maker, and I think you're seeing the type of impact one player can have on an offense when he does what you just said, make plays above the X's and O's.
Well, what happens is he's a high-energy player. When you're playing against a guy like that that's over the top, that's making plays, you don't want him talking. You don't want him, you know, celebrating. You don't want him giving the first down signal or dancing in the end zone. So every time he makes a play, it just infuriates you a little bit more, and it just lights your fuels. I think you're going to see more and more players to the end of the year. They're going to still be pushing and shoving him after the play. And you notice he's not retaliating. He just keeps going back over and over and making another play. They're screaming or yelling at him. He doesn't care. He's got a lot of energy. He's making a lot of plays. He's a happy kid.
And there's certainly a lot to be happy about, Howard, no question about it. And then you have to look at the Giants' defense. They also did a great job in the second half. At one point, they forced the Redskins to punt on 4 straight possessions. They had 3 straight 3-and-outs in the fourth quarter. And after basically 2.5 quarters, the Redskins moved the ball up and down the field whenever they wanted. The Giants shored up their defense. Alfred Morris had just 2 second-half rushing yards. They took away RG3's first read, and all of a sudden the Redskins couldn't move the football anymore.
I think RG3 kind of like fell apart when he tried to dive in the end zone at the end of the half and the ball came out of his hand.
Seemed that way, didn't it?
It looked like that like blew the cap off. He was like, he's moving the ball. He's doing good. He made a couple plays. All of a sudden he's doing okay. And he lets go of the ball, and people start screaming and yelling from the Redskins' standpoint at the officials. There's a penalty. They come back with a very short kick, which causes the onside kick. And now we're back in the game. Once we're back in the game, things just – I hate to say this because I'm not a big believer in momentum, but the momentum shift was so huge. The defense keeps getting after guys. They keep making plays. When a guy that you haven't seen a lot of, the undrafted free agent – starts to make plays all over the field. He's making plays in the run game. He's making plays in the passing game. Guys are diving over. DeMontre Moore starts to pick it up. Of course, Kirkland he's still making plays. Kennard's still making plays. I mean, it's one of those things where every young guy on the field is making plays. Now, the old guys are picking it up, too. You know, you got JPP getting 2.5 sacks, playing well in the run game.
Hankins with a couple sacks,
Hankins had a couple sacks, too. When these young guys are making plays, it kind of gives the older guys a little more energy, as you noticed.
And, Howard, you brought it up. The play of the game had to have been that RG3 fumble at the end of half number one. And it was a big play in a couple of different ways. For one, it set up the Giants' onside kick. I want to set the stage for the folks here. The Redskins were driving down. There were 6 seconds to go on the clock. The Redskins basically tried to run one more play before they would either settle for the field goal if they didn't get into the end zone for the touchdown.
Yep.
So Griffin goes back to throw, rolls out towards the sideline. jumps into the end zone. JPP kind of contacts him as he goes airborne. Not a whole lot, but he gets a piece of him. Mm-hmm. RG3 fumbles the fumble. He doesn't fumble. He loses control of the ball in his hands. He begins to bobble it before the ball crosses the plane. He never regains full control until after he lands out of bounds in the end zone.
Yep.
That, in effect, is a fumble.
Absolutely.
That goes out of the end zone. It's a touchback. The Redskins were upset about the call, but it was the right one.
Absolutely.
And it turns into a touchback. Santana Moss loses his mind. And, you know, it's funny. He's usually a guy that's a pretty well-mannered dude. He isn't a crazy guy. He gets two 15-yard penalties. He gets ejected out of the ballgame. You take 7 points off the board. Time runs out, so the Redskins can't kick a field goal. Mm-hmm. The Giants come back out. They're now kicking off from the Redskins' 35-yard line. So what's the point of kicking out of bounds? You're getting 15 yards of field position. Mm-hmm. Tom Coughlin, I think, makes a very smart coaching move. Me, you, Bob, and Carl Banks talked about this before we got at the start of the third quarter there, and he tries the onside kick. Adrian Robinson makes a really good play, knocking the Redskin off of the ball when he tries to make the play. Yep. It gets recovered by Chandler Fenner, and then the Giants set themselves up. They settle for three, but still in effect, between that field goal and the seven they took off the board in the Griffin play, that's a 10-point swing, that's and that, Howard, is the difference of the game.
That's a huge swing. The thing is that, you know, I know that special team coaches all around the league are telling guys this, but what you don't realize – if the ball, because I used to be in the hot box, I was the guy that said, you know, if the ball's going to come to me, I'm going to catch it. And I used to think to myself, this is the worst spot on the field because all the guys in front of you, you're hoping they're going to block. And I'm thinking, like, I hate being back here. And so the coach is like, look.
Well, the problem is, too, right, you have to look at the ball. You can't see who's coming at you.
You don't care who's coming at you.
Right.
Coach says, listen, if it's not directly coming right at you, knock it out of bounds. I'm like, what? He goes, it's the easiest thing to do. If
yeah,
it's
right.
way inside, you got to get on it. But if it's on your outside shoulder towards the sideline, knock it out of bounds. Do everything you can to get it out of bounds. He goes, trust me. And, you know, time and time again, I'd catch the ball. But sometimes I'd just knock it out of bounds. And everybody's like, oh, it's out of bounds. Everybody's like, yay. And I'm like, that's what you're looking for. These guys aren't schooled enough to know that, you know, if the Redskins guy knocks the ball off out of bounds, it's in a better position. What he tries to do is try to recover it. When he tries to recover it, he gets like meleeed over there. It's like so many guys coming at you. Your own players are hitting you, whether you know it or not. It's a crazy moment.
201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, talk some Giants and Redskins. 201-939-4513. A couple of nuggets from this game, Howard, I want to get to. The pass rush really started getting home in half number two in this game. You mentioned a couple of the guys. 2.5 sacks for Jason Pierre-Paul. 2.5 sacks for Jonathan Hankins. 7 tackles and a half sack for Devon Kennard. A half sack for DeMonte Moore, giving him 5.5 on the year. And we've seen now for 3 straight weeks, this Giants defense has more than 20 sacks.
Yeah.
Granted, it's against 3 of, you know, the worst teams in the league.
Let's keep it real. 6
combined sacks and 2 rookie quarterbacks, and then RG3 kind of in some ways still plays like a rookie from time to time.
Well, he's still getting his feet set. You know, I was watching him, and I was watching the footwork, trying to figure out, like, you know, what's the big deal about the footwork.
Yeah.
And when you saw him drop back, there was no 1-2-3. There was just – it was either hopping a skip or bouncing around. It was never a set step back. And I think that's the thing he lost in his first 3 years, you know, under the Shanahans, because they made it more convenient for him to play his style of offense.
They catered their offense to him.
Absolutely. And it's kind of set him back. He'll grow some as the year goes on, but not right now.
Now, I want to touch briefly on RG3 because I think it'll – impact what we see in the spring when we get to the NFL draft. And me and you talked about this a little bit at the end of this last game. Robert Griffin III comes from that read option system in college. There are other guys that came out of that system as well. Mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick came out of that system. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson in Wisconsin, people think he did, but he actually played in a pretty pro-style offense when he was in Wisconsin. He was just a shorter guy, which is why he dropped in the draft. Just giving the explanation.
Yep.
Cam Newton came out of a read option offense. Now, he's gotten into the pros now, and he's learned to adjust his game. And is he perfect? Is he Peyton Manning in the pocket? No. But he does enough reading the whole field, going through his progressions. He's a good, solid pocket passer now.
Okay.
But, Howard, how much of a worry is it now if you're an NFL team looking at Marcus Mariota coming out of Oregon, who lived in that system in college? How much of a red flag is it that some of these guys that came out of that system, and by the way, look at Johnny Manziel yesterday, absolute train wreck in his first game as a rookie. Are you worried a little bit trying to turn a read option quarterback from that spread system into a pro-style quarterback?
Well, here's the thing you have to think about, and fans are going to be mad or not going to be mad. I could care less. You have to think about this. If your team is a drop back 1-2-3 read guy, that's the quarterback you need, and that's the quarterback you need to draft. If you're gonna spend a top pick, maybe. He may be the first pick player taken in the draft. If he's the first player taken in the draft, he's got to be able to do that. He's got to be able to drop back and go 1, 2, 3. They can't do what they did for RG3 and bring a guy in and just change your whole offense to fit him, because that only lasts so long. If you're not winning with that style of offense, all of a sudden somebody comes in, and what they're going to do? They're going to be like, well, he can't play. And that's what's happening to RG3. Johnny Manziel was the same thing. What happens in these offenses is the guy drops back. He looks down the field. He sees his first option. Once his option is gone, he's allowed to run. He's not checking off and looking for a second guy. He's not looking for a third guy. He may scramble around to give himself time to find another guy. But once you get into the league, you just can't do that. You can't
freestyle.
You can't do it every play. I mean, you can give yourself some time in the pocket, but you can't just drop back and then all of a sudden, okay, I'm going to make a move. Because what happens is that your offensive line, they're blocking the guys. They're rolling them around to the outside. They're creating a pocket. Once they create a pocket, they're expecting you to be in the pocket. If you're not going to be consistent in the pocket, they're not going to know where to block for you. And that's when you're going to get hurt.
And I think it also frustrates your wide receivers. And I think part of that is what we saw at the end of that game.
Oh, man,
when
did we ever.
They're in that no-huddle offense, and DeSean Jackson and then Pierre Garçon are going down the field. They're trying to get everybody into that no-huddle and get the ball snapped, and you have DeSean Jackson just
casually walks back.
I'm going to make my way back to the line of scrimmage now. I'm going to take my time. And then
Garçon
was right next to him. And then RG3 is trying to call out plays. And it looked like Jackson and Garçon are having a conversation near the sideline. They're not even paying attention to the quarterback.
Yeah, like it's like, this one's over, kind of. Like, this game's over. Let's stop fighting. Can we just, get through the game?
You could tell there isn't much love for that quarterback from those wide receivers.
I don't know if it's not much love. I think there's a lack of discipline from the receivers themselves. You got to remember, every time that I say this a lot when we're doing our show, every time that you go out on the field, you're auditioning for other teams. You're not just auditioning for yourself. You're not auditioning for your coach. You're auditioning for other teams. If your offensive coordinator is a good guy, he goes off and he goes to another team, and you're at the end of your contract, and you're not the guy he likes and you don't like him, that's one team you eliminated from picking you up in the offseason.
What do you think Ike Hilliard was thinking watching those two guys do that, their wide receiver coach?
Well, Ike Hilliard is a class act. He is a I can only explain him this way. When you make a team and you look for guys, regardless of ability, you want that kind of personality on your team.
Glue guy.
A guy that's going to do everything and anything that you ask. He doesn't care what the situation is. He's going to play to the last minute. When you pull him out of the game, he's upset. It's a blowout. He's upset. Either way, you're winning or losing, he's upset. He wants to be there for you. He's going to go get it. And what he always told me was, I trust my guys. I'll do whatever it takes to make a play.
And, Howard, a lot of games this year we've come out of it and said, you know what, the Giants, they really could have won that football game. But I think this is a game where, if you look at some of these numbers very quickly, mm-hmm. this is a game the Giants could have very easily lost.
Yes.
You know, they got outgained in this game, 372 to 287, nearly 100 yards. They lost the time of possession battle, 32-31 to 27-29. And once again, the Giants could not run the football again. I think that has to do with the time of possession as well. In a lot of ways, the way the Redskins moved the ball in the first half, the Giants were very fortunate to be in the situation that they were in the second half to give themselves the opportunity to win the game.
They gave up a lot of chunk plays again. You know, that's
in the first half.
When that's what beats you, when you give up the 40, the 50 yard plays.
Are you looking at my rundown?
I'm just saying what happened. You know, Cromartie showed some incredible speed going and just
catching Andre Robertson behind. Yeah. How fast is Dominique Rodgers Cromartie?
All I'm gonna say is that's embarrassing. When you're that open, when you've got that much of a lead on the guy,
he had like 7 yards on him.
He had him. I'm like, man, he sucked him up. It was embarrassing. I'm like, dude, you got to go back and look at yourself on films. Like, okay, I got to work out all season. That can never happen to me again, because that's not supposed to happen. Not from 7 yards back. He went and got him. That changed a lot of the game itself. That was a big point swing itself. When he did that, there's no big touchdown. There's no anything. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait a minute. What just happened? That hurt the team. That hurt the Redskins a lot. I think that, you know, when you're watching the game and you're thinking about things, how did the Giants stay in this game? Cromartie making that play was something that people won't think about it a lot. It's kind of something that you kind of gloss over. But that made the team come back by itself. That was a big, big encouragement from the defense. That showed a player saying, hey, look, he's not getting away. I'm not giving up. I'm fighting. the whole guys, that's when guys started to, they started to galvanize. They started to pull themselves together. Things started to look differently.
Why can't this team run the football, Howard?
Oh, that is a brutal question because they are doing so well in pass protection. It is very odd that
they actually did protect Eli against a very good blitzing defense.
Well, I'll say this, that you know there are a couple things that you have to think about when you're running the ball, and this is for kids that are listening. This is for college guys or pro guys. You gotta learn how to stick on your blocks. And sticking on your blocks doesn't mean holding a guy, but it means moving your feet and getting yourself in position to make a play. Once you make contact, you have to continue to move your feet and move. You can't press because the other guy's moving his hands and trying to get off of you. You have to constantly move your feet and move and work with the guy constantly. If it's a double team block, same thing. You double up, moving your feet, and get your eye up when the guy comes off, you slide right into him.
Because if you leverage too far forward, the guy can swim around you
and
make the play in the back.
You got to be able to move your feet, and you got to be lifting guys instead of pushing guys. A lot of people believe that you're pushing like you're pushing a car. You're leaning into the guy. The problem with the concept is once you lean into him, if the guy moves right or left, you fall.
You're falling forward.
So what you want to do constantly is lift the guy. You want to be hitting them on the rise and moving your feet. As they're rising, they're trying to make you lift. So what are you doing? They're backing up.
And you're taking away their leverage.
You're taking away all their leverage. No more falling forward in place. When you see a defensive lineman spearing through the line, that means he's going full speed forward as hard as he can. If you hit him and make contact, he stops. Once you both start to rise, he starts to lose leverage. We're not seeing a lot of that right now. It's just part of it's going to be a little bit of coaching technique. Coaches are going to work on it as much as possible, but that's players having to learn their craft as well. You got to be able to do that when you're playing.
There's some blocking 101 from one of the best blocking tight ends in NFL history, Howard Cross.
We had some fun.
201-939-4513. He didn't deny that, by the way. There was no humble pie for Howard there. He's like, yeah, he's right. One of the best. I'm Howard Cross.
I was the best. What are you talking about?
Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend. By the way, only 2 weeks ago in the NFL season, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com, BLUE to play for free.
But see, just about the blocking thing, just you understand this, I was forced to block. I wasn't like a lot of guys that, come in the league now. I had Kenetius Bennett and Derek Thomas in college. That was ridiculous. Hall of Famer and a great linebacker. And I get to the Giants, I got Carl Banks and Lawrence Taylor. So you kind of have to learn to block.
So basically, unless your quarterback wants to get killed in practice, you better have Howard out there to make sure these guys stay off.
Unless your running backs want to get killed in practice. I mean, it was just – you were forced to do it. I mean, and Carl played hard every day.
Now, back then, you guys hit the quarterbacks in practice, right? There was none of this red jersey stuff?
No. You didn't hit the quarterback.
You didn't hit the quarterback even back then?
No.
Okay.
No. Can you imagine being in practice with Lawrence Taylor or Derek Thomas?
I used to hear stories where a couple plays, Parcells unleashed LT to send a message on a quarterback.
Well, it may have been Sims was a tough guy. it's not the same thing. You just couldn't do it. You just need your guy to play.
Oh, no, it makes sense. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, but also, back then, we weren't throwing the ball 50 times a game.
Right.
That just wasn't happening. It was 3 yards in a cloud of dust or 4 yards in a cloud of dust. It was to grind it out. It was a big difference in the game.
All right, you guys have been very patient on the phones. Let's get to you. 201-939-4513. Ivan in Delaware. Ivan, what's going on, pal?
Ivan.
How's it going, fellas? How's it going, Howard Cross? Pleasure's all mine.
Doing well.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to, touch on the game yesterday a little bit. I saw a lot of, obviously, there was a lot of good. There was some bad early on with the defense, but the continued development of this young, these young players on this team is what, I'm hanging my hat on this season because, sure, you can pat yourself on the back for the fans that want to say, oh, I said this would be a bad season, but, now the focus needs to shift onto what we have right now. And there's a lot of young talent on this team that I can see this team next year making, making a leap until, playing meaningful games, this time of the year instead of watching other teams. And also when I saw a guy like DR chase down that wide receiver, I'm on that play, and then APP coming all the way across the field to you know, knock that ball out of RG3's hands. You know, it further lets me know that this team, you know, has not quit on Tom Coughlin, and all that talk that was going on after the Jacksonville game, I didn't necessarily subscribe to it, and I'm just glad that that team is still playing for him, and I firmly think that he's the man going forward with this team. That's all I had. I appreciate you guys' comments.
Thanks, Ivan. Appreciate it. Hey, look. I don't think there's any doubt that Tom Coughlin still is the ear and the heart of this team. They play for him. They play hard for him. And the team respects their head coach an awful lot. And then, by the way, there was a report in the Post today that from an unnamed source, 99% chance that Tom Coughlin returns. Obviously, that's not from the Giants. That's simply a report in the paper, just something I'm passing on.
Well, I always tell guys this. When you look at Coach Coughlin, think of it this way.
You were the source on that one, right?
Find a resume. No, I am not the source. I just say find a resume better.
That's true. I mean, you're not going to.
Find a resume better when you start talking about switching coaches and moving coaches around.
I can actually guarantee there are no two-time Super Bowl champions out there looking for a job.
There's nobody who took their team to the championship game that many times in a row either.
No.
So that's what you're looking at when you're talking about this coach. Coach Cower, much respect, didn't do it. You know, Coach Gruden didn't do it.
The only guy that's out there is probably Jimmy Johnson, but he's much more pleased to be on his boat down in the Florida Keys than to be coaching in New York.
Wow, Jimmy Johnson. That would be funny to get the hair up here. That would be hilarious. But no, Jimmy Johnson's pretty much the only guy left, and Coach Shula.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Coach Shula's not doing it.
This ain't the 80s anymore, Howard.
No, he's not.
Much as you would like it to be, it's not.
Yeah, I think the other guy out there is racing cars.
Yes,
that's Joe Gibbs. That's pretty much
it. And Gruden obviously has the one, but he doesn't have multiple.
No,
so
that's it. That's what you're looking at, and that's what you're facing. So, a lot of people are screaming, change, switch, do something, but what are you switching to? So you have to be very careful when you ask for change. RG3 would be the first person to tell you that after he got rid of the Shanahans, and now he has a Gruden at his office.
Do you want to watch me try to freak out Jet fans?
Go ahead.
What if RG3 is their starting quarterback next year?
They would be in a better place than they are right now.
Okay. I think that's an okay answer.
that's as kind and as – I don't want to be mean to Geno Smith and those guys, but – they'd be better off than where they are right now. But it depends on who the coach is.
That's true, too. The other thing I want to touch on, too, the first part of Ivan's call, he mentioned all the young players on this team, and I think you are seeing some of the young players develop. You mentioned Beckham. Andre Williams still has to learn, Howard, and you said this to me a lot during the game, where he still seems to seek out contact a little bit too much for your taste, right?
Well, see, when you're running the ball, you kind of have to understand where the blocks are going and how the play is designed. When a guy's coming across the top of a player, that's when you dip inside to make him lean back so you can still get to your spot. What Andre Williams is doing is if the guy's going across, say, hey, look, that's my hole. It's not your hole. It's my hole. I'm going through the hole. And that's when you get to see him hitting guys and running over guys. Because he's not taking the time to try to set the play up a little bit. And this is just my opinion. I am not, quote, unquote, the running back guru. I'm not anything. But I know if I'm blocking for a guy, I know how I can help him get more yards. He should understand as he's looking at some of these plays, you know, and it's not every play that this is happening. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, he's getting hit in the backfield. But when he does have the opportunity, he's got to be able to look – change a little bit of direction. It doesn't take much. It's not a shuffle, just a little bit of direction to help his blocker on the edge out, and then he can get more yards.
And in terms of the young guys progressing, I think the two most important guys to continue to get better and make progress are the two offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. First-round pick Justin Pugh from a couple years ago, then this year they drafted Weston Richburg. Mm-hmm. If those guys continue to get better, improving the run blocking especially, they're already doing a pretty good job pass protecting, this offensive line could take another step next year.
Well, they're going to put some weight on, I think. That's one of the two things they're going to do. And I think that, you know, that they're going to grow. I think Richburg is definitely a center more so than a guard. The guards are usually a heavier guy.
Yeah.
And he's not that heavy. Was he 285, 290? So when he gets up to that 310, 320.
I think he's officially at 300, but, you know, that's
the
old official weight.
Yeah, okay. He looks small out there, but that will help him out. Once he goes to center, his athletic ability is going to make him one of the better centers in the league. Whereas, you know, you need the big, heavy set guard to get in there and make some plays for you. And that's going to happen. They're going to grow into that stuff.
And one other thing to note for Ivan moving forward next year, there is a big question as to what this defense is going to look at just in terms of the personnel because, quite frankly, they got a bunch of guys that are free agents. They don't have any safeties on their contract besides Cooper Taylor. Mm-hmm. Other than Prince and DRC, they don't have any corners on their contract. Though I think McBride might have signed a two-year deal. He might be the third guy that's still on their contract.
Okay.
JPP's a free agent. Kiwanuka's going into the last year of his deal. Colin Jenkins is a free agent. They got to, you know, John Beeson's coming off an injury. So there are a lot of decisions they got to make on defense. We got to see who's even on this team on that side of the ball come next year based on the offseason.
Well, you know, if it were me and I were a GM and I was trying to build a team, I'd build it from the base up.
You love those defensive tackles.
You base D tackles and defensive ends. You build guard centers and tackles, and then everybody else you can play with. I tell guys, like, it's basically like this. It's like buying a car. You go out and buy a car. You get the standard car. Everything, this is standard. The car costs this much. But if I want the navigation, if I want the backup camera, if I want the heated seats, every time you add something, it's a little bell or whistle. But the basic car runs.
And here's the problem. If you get a car with heated seats, a moonroof, convertible top, you get the power seats, the power windows, and all that stuff. The engine don't work. It's not going to matter.
Well, that's right.
You're going to look really good sitting in your parking spot.
Yeah, but the big thing is that the car is standard.
Right.
And what happens is that people, we get so amused and crazy about all the bells and whistles that we don't want the car.
Right.
I want the rims. Oh, man, I got to have that disc color. I got but does it run? And like, is it your basic car? And that's what they're.
Is it going to get you where you need to go?
That's right. So we got to get back to some of the basics, and the basics are up front.
All right, let's get back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Up next is Gary down in Florida. Gary, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, John? How you doing, Howard?
How you doing, Gary?
Very good, very good.
I just want to say I just want to talk a little about Odell Beckham, man. How much he's meant to the Giants and this season, man.
He's been everything.
Just having a down season this year. I'm just totally impressed with this guy's mental game. Everybody talked about his physical game, what he does on the field, but this guy missed the whole offseason, training camp, learning a new offense. Teammates didn't really know the offense, couldn't really lean on them that much. But this guy basically took mental reps of the offense and came onto the field and learned all three wide receiver positions. I mean, what do you guys feel about that? I mean, nobody really talks about that, but that is very impressive.
Hey, Gary, once Beckham missed all that time in training camp, all that time in the spring, missed the first four games of the season, quite frankly, and I ended up being 100% wrong, and I'll happily step forward and say that right now, I didn't expect a whole lot from him this year. I thought it was going to be slow going. I thought maybe by the last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks you can get something out of him as a consistent performer. But the way he's come out of the gates has defied my expectations. And frankly, realistic expectations for any rookie coming into this league. His learning curve has really been short. And I guess, Howard, you got to give him credit for doing the work in the meeting rooms while he was hurt. So mentally, he wasn't overwhelmed when he finally was healthy.
Well, I tell guys this all the time, and they look at me like I got seven heads. Like, I learned the offense when I first got to the team in about 3 or 4 days. And they're like, how'd you do that? I'm like, it was my job. And Odell Beckham has kind of taken it to heart. It's like, it's his job. By it being his job, now he's looking at it, and he's like, okay, I go to the film study. What's this guy doing? What's that guy doing? What do I need to do? Where am I supposed to be? What's my read? Who's blitzing? Why is he blitzing? What is Eli looking at? That was his job, was to learn. He did his job, and now everybody's like, they're praising him for it. Well, that's cool and everything. And I mean, rookie, non-rookie, veteran. I've heard a lot about the new offense and all this other stuff. He's doing his job. Now, that to me means he's a professional. He understands his craft and what he's doing. I'm impressed with the fact that he's doing his job. I'm shocked as I listen to, you know, the pundits all over, you know, ESPN and everywhere talk about how hard it is to learn a new offense. I think I learned five offenses with the team while we were here. We had a bunch of different coaches, a bunch of new offenses. You just do it. It's your job. It's supposed to be fun, and you. Like,
it sounds easy, but unfortunately, as we've seen in this league for a long time, Howard, it isn't always that easy.
It's easy for guys who will do like Odell Beckham, and they take it to heart that that's their job. And that's what they need to do. Some guys just don't do that.
201-939-4513. Thanks for the call, Gary. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Stas all the way out in Washington. Stas, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good to hear from you, Stas. What's going on, pal?
Hey, so quick three hits. So one thing about Odell Beckham Jr., the one thing that I think no one really talks about, that it just blows my mind, especially when someone does this well, is his humility. Like yesterday in his post-game conference, you know, the guy, he has every reason to take all the credit in the world for what he's doing on the field. He steps back and he goes, I don't know where I would be without Eli Manning. just straight up and gives all this credit. And I just I think his character is large, and that's impressive to me, especially for his age. And then the last two things, real quick, is regarding the offensive line. And this is just a thought that I was having, and I would love to hear Howard Cross your opinion on it. Also, it's awesome to be talking to you, sir. You're just amazing. But
thank you. Don't listen to John,
man. Well, this is the offensive line. So you got Schwartz, you got Pugh, you got Richburg. And I was just thinking about this. Going into next year, would it make more sense, since Pugh started as a left tackle in college, wouldn't it make more sense to move him to left guard, Schwartz to right guard, where he's proven to be an awesome commodity, have an open competition between Walton and Richburg for that center, and then go out and just get yourself a bona fide right tackle? Would that make more sense than to just move Pugh inside, like some people were saying, and then have Schwartz at left guard? And that was just a thought. And then the last one, and I'll take your comments off air, Dan Graziano, I think his name is.
Yeah, from ESPN.
From ESPN. I don't know if he, loses money betting against the Giants often, but, man, this guy, every article he writes is something negative, and it's just so frustrating. His last article was talking about how he's, for sure, Coughlin has lost the locker room. I mean, the guy just always writes something negative, and I don't know if you guys know him personally, but is he, an Eagles fan or something? What's his beef with the Giants? Well, and I'll take your comments. Off air. And thanks so much for taking my call.
All right,
guys.
Thanks, Daz.
I'll tell you with Graziano. Regardless of if it's him or anybody, it's easy to kick somebody when they're down.
It is.
It's just easy. It's easy to find things and to say things, unless you see like what we saw in the game yesterday, where two receivers walking back to the line of scrimmage. That's when you can start wondering what's going on in the locker room and stuff. These guys are just playing together, and they've won a couple championships together. The young guys are coming in. They're mentoring them. They're working hard. It's just part of it. The reporters, if there's nothing to write about, there's always something if you can find a team that's down.
Well, and frankly, that's what editors want, too. Yeah. That's what the editors are telling these guys to go out there and get. And look, I know Dan. He's a nice guy. We get along. We chat sometimes. So I'm not going to badmouth the guy. But from time to time, there is a little bit of negativity there. Now, how about the other two comments he made, Howard, on the offensive line first?
That's a lot of shifting and moving.
It's a lot of moving, but talked about makes out of the realm of possibility. Schwartz has put on the right side, and Pugh did play on the left side in college.
Okay, that's all great. Let's do it this way.
Yes.
Let's go with who – if the season ended today, let's go with who's healthy. Pugh's healthy. Richburg's healthy.
Beattie's healthy.
Beattie's healthy. He limps every week, but is healthy.
He plays. Hey,
he plays. Okay,
if you play, you're healthy enough.
You have three guys who are healthy.
And J.D. Walton's healthy, so that's four.
Okay, so then you got Walton's healthy. So then you got four guys. So then you would just be looking for one guy.
Well, and John Jerry is also healthy, but he's also on a one-year contract.
Okay,
so.
but we'll call him injured for that matter. That's okay. If a guy's healthy,
and are under contract for next season.
Guys that are healthy and they're looking for them to have longer contracts is what I'm thinking is healthy.
I got you.
Okay, so we got three guys, maybe four, right? Then it'd be opportune to not just look for a guy, but look for a guy that you can actually solidify the offensive line with, instead of, say, I'm just going out to get a right tackle, because you're still going to need players to play along the line. So go get a guy, the Kevin Booths of the world. Where is that guy at that's out there? Is it the guard from Alabama? Is it the guy from Iowa? The guy from Iowa may be gone too early. The guy from Alabama may be around.
See, to me, Howard, I think what you do, you get the best offensive lineman possible, and then you fit the guys in around them, because guys like Schwartz are versatile. Guys like Pugh are versatile. I think you can pick the best guy and then go to war there. But frankly, I wouldn't mind bringing in a big-time tackle. If you have a chance to get a big-time tackle that are going to come here and play tackle for 8 to 12 years, that's a great thing to have.
It depends on where you're drafting.
Well, of course.
Yeah, if you win the next two games and all the Giants fans are pulling for that, that means you're going to be picking 10, 12. So it's going to be interesting to see where you're going to get that tackle from, where you're going to get that guy from if he's out there.
Are not going to be easy games either against the Rams and the Eagles.
No, they're definitely not going to be two easy games. But if they don't win those two games, then they're top 10 pick probably.
I think right now – I saw the graphic either this morning or last night. I think right now they have the Giants – think it's 7 or 8.
Yeah, so at 7 or 8.
I'll look at the standings here.
Mariota's coming off the board. Cooper's coming off the board. Probably Winston's coming off the board. That's 3 picks right there. You got 2 D tackles, I think, that are definitely coming off the board. So that's 5 and 6. Now your offensive tackles come off. You got a couple guys right there in the wheelhouse. They're going to be there for. That's going to be there for you.
All right. Right now, the Giants are 5 and 9. The Bears play tonight, so they could be either 6 and 8 or 5 and 9, depending on what happens tonight. Okay. You got the Saints at 5 and 8. They play tonight as well. We'll see what happens with them. Falcons are at 5 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
The Panthers are at 5, 8, and 1. So the teams with guaranteed worse records than the Giants, I'm going to throw those teams that could be tied with them out for a second, okay?
Yep.
The teams with guaranteed worse records than the Giants right now.
Tampa.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC. The Washington Redskins in the NFC. Mm-hmm. The Oakland Raiders in the AFC. The Jaguars and the Titans in the AFC South. We're up to 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And the New York Jets. So you're looking at 6 teams with guaranteed worse records than the Giants. And I don't believe – no, they all have 2 or 3 losses. So none of those teams – can have a better record than the Giants once the season is over.
All right, 2 or 3 wins, you mean.
Yeah, when I say losses?
So losses. Well, in that case, again, you're at 7. So at 7, that's when you're going to start seeing – that's where some of the big-time tackles are going to be, some of the big-time guards are going to be. It's going to be interesting to see who's
going
to be
there.
You
should be able to get a good offensive lineman in the top 10.
Again, are you going to – let's put it like this. You have a decent offensive lineman and a guy like an Amari Cooper.
Oh, no, you pick Amari Cooper because he's a difference maker. My point is that you should be able
but
to
But Amari
get,
Cooper's not going to block that blitzer.
Well, no, he's not. I understand that. But if that's the case, then maybe you consider trading down.
Okay.
If you decide that's what you have to have in the first round, I mean, Gary, trust me, mm-hmm. that's not the way the Giants operate.
I know.
That's not the way they operate. So I'm going to tell the fans that right now.
They take the best player available.
Right. Correct.
And
but
you figure it out from there.
Generally speaking, from year to year, if you pick it in the top 10, mm-hmm. you should be able to get a very, very highly regarded offensive line. Now, whether or not to become a great player, you know, he could be Tony Mandarich or Robert Gallery. Who knows?
Yep, that's
but
true.
At least a highly regarded player
with that
top 10 pick. 201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Dre is down in Atlanta. What's up, Dre?
Hey, what's going on, John? What's up, Howard?
What's up, Dre?
Hey, Dre.
All right, I got 2 comments. One of them, the first one might be a little sacrilegious, but I'm going to tell you.
But
I think Victor Cruz getting hurt was a blessing in disguise for the Giants because before he got hurt, they were dead set on keeping him in the slot, not moving him around, just keeping him in the slot. Since the injury, they have moved Odell Beckham around all over the field in various capacities. Now, granted, he does have, you know, more athleticism than Cruz, but when Cruz comes back, and I said it before, if he even comes back at 95%, you move them both around, you create mismatches throughout that secondary once you get them, depending on what route you have them running.
That's fair.
But now it takes, McAdoo's mind state of just keeping Cruz strictly in the slot out of the equation. Now when he start creating plays for both of them, the goal is to move them around and create mismatches, opposed to saying, you know, Cruz is a better slot receiver than he is on the outside, but there are different route combinations you can put with him on the outside and put Beckham in the slot, and that you have to choose your poison. Who are you going to double-team?
Okay.
You know, that's the one. The other one, and Stas kind of hit on a point, whereas that offensive line, I still think Pugh is what could be a magnificent guard. Wherever you put him in at guard, I think he's a much better guard. He has the girth, he has the athleticism, and believe it or not, he has the speed to, you know, to get it to the second level after he makes initial contact, you know, and slides off and go to hit a linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, you put Richburg in at center, and you just get a tackle, get a bona fide, get someone that has the girth, has the size, have the long arms, which Pugh does not have, that can actually extend the defense and keep them out so they don't get inside them. And I'm telling you, because right now, next year, we're looking like a poor man's Indianapolis. Have a great passing game with no running game. We need somebody with some anger, with some grit to go in there and fight in the trenches, you know, so we can open up some holes. We don't have that right now. We have a finesse guard and Jerry. You know, we really don't have the blocker. Adrian Robinson is actually coming together now as a blocker when he does come in the game. So those are things that, you know, we got to work on. And I think, you know, by bringing in a tackle with some skill or drafting one, you know, we create some competition, we'll be all right.
All right, Dre. Thanks for the call, my friend.
No problem.
Take it easy. All right, Howard. Justin Pugh. Guard, tackle, what do you say?
I have no idea. I mean, I've seen him at tackle pretty much his entire career.
Even in college he didn't play guard. So who knows what type of guard he's going to be?
I mean, I see guards as this lower body big guys. You know, they're heavy set lower body guys.
Stocky.
Yeah. They're quick footed, but you know, maybe he can play guard. I mean, I hear a lot about that. I hear that he was projected as a guard coming out, and he wound up playing tackle.
Let's attack this from a different way then. How do you see him long term as a tackle? Do you see him as a potential Pro Bowl caliber right tackle at some point, or did he move to the left side? How do you see him as a tackle?
I mean, as a Pro Bowl tackle, he's playing pretty decent, but it's going to be. It depends on who comes in the next couple of years in our division that we're going to play against.
But does he have it in him physically to be that type of player?
Body type, no. I'll just say that up front. Body type, no. The short arms are the things that probably is the hardest thing to defend when you're dropping back trying to get a guy and trying to reach out and get your hand on him. If your arms are shorter than his, he's going to have more options against you. And that's what you hear people talk about constantly is the short arms. His feet and his skills, he has great feet and he's able to get in front of guys. He's able to move and maneuver enough that he overcomes the length of his arms. It doesn't really bother him. He finds a way to do it.
He did a pretty good job on Ryan Kerrigan yesterday.
He's a
great
fighter.
Pass rusher.
Yeah, and he's a fighter. So, you know, being a fighter, having a good feet, and being super aggressive, I think the arm thing's a little overrated. When you say pro bowler, you got to be really, really good. You got to be exceptional to be a pro bowler in this league at tackle, because there are going to be some guys. They pay those guys on the outside rushers. They pay them a lot of money for a reason.
$100 million for these top offensive tackles now.
When they're doing it, they're not doing it for their sake. They're doing it for, hey, look, this guy's coming after you. Sorry. And that's what you got to figure out. I mean, I think for what the Giants are doing now, the Giants can win a Super Bowl with him at tackle.
Okay. I think that's a good way to answer.
I think they can win a Super Bowl with him at tackle. I'm not going to project Pro Bowl and all this stuff, but they could definitely win a Super Bowl with him at tackle.
How long are your arms coming out of school?
I have no earthly idea.
Okay, I was curious how much has changed, whether or not they measured you guys in that way.
They measured everything. We were on the block like everybody else in shorts. They checked everything. It was very degrading. I felt I didn't like it at all. But it's very interesting. You know, the things and measurements. Measurables are one thing. I think that's one thing in the league that people are talking about, like how big is he, how far does he jump, how, you know, that's cute. Can he play ball is what's really important. And watching tape kind of determines, you know, measurables. Now, if a guy comes out and he runs a 4.5 40, he's a defensive end, but he never makes a tackle, never gets a sack.
A guy runs a 4.35 in shorts and a t-shirt, but on the field on Sunday, it looks like he's running a 4.55 because he's got a helmet on.
He can run a 4.1. I think 4.29 or something was 4.31 or something was the guy.
Archer, right? The Archer kid?
Hill went to the Jets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Stephen Hill. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tall guy, great speed, could run that fast even on Sundays. Couldn't catch.
It's a problem.
Hey, that's great. You got measurables, jump 40-plus vertical, can't catch.
201?
I mean, that's your job.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island next. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, Johnny. Hi, Howard. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff.
And,
how are you?
Thank you for your contributions as a New York football giant.
Oh, appreciate it.
A very good tight end.
Thank you very much.
You're entirely welcome. My question is this. First of all, I didn't see Jennings get hurt yesterday. Is it anything that's severe? Do you know?
No, I wouldn't say severe. I mean, I think he just re-aggravated his ankle.
And Jeff, I think it was on that first run where he gained the yard. He got tackled low, and there was just a big impact there. He went to the sideline. Yeah. They looked at him. He was deemed questionable to return with an ankle.
Kind of like the twisting down. When you got a sore ankle, someone twists you down, you're going to have it doesn't just come all the way back. It takes a while to get that back.
Okay. My second question is about Andre Williams. First of all, I'm not convinced this kid weighs 230 pounds. If he does, he's the smallest 230-pound running back I've ever seen.
Hey, Jeff. In fairness, trust me, he's a big kid. He weighs all 230 pounds. You know what?
I think he's heavier than that.
Really?
You got to look at him. I mean, he doesn't look the same because the height thing kind of throws you off when you see guys.
Maybe on TV he doesn't look it, trust me.
But if you see him,
he's 230.
If you were just standing in front of him and looking at him, you would think to yourself, What is that?
And you know, a big part of it too, Aaron, he has so little fat. It's so much his, muscle.
His
he just
arms.
Doesn't look wide.
Did you see how long his arms are?
Dude, he's a monster.
He is ridiculous. He's a freak of nature. Well, I'm telling you. I've seen him. I'm like,
I stand corrected then. But
that's okay.
I understand he's, you know, he's a rookie. I understand he's still learning the position. I understand we're going to have, hopefully, a newer and better offensive line next year, but mm-hmm. do you think that he has enough speed
to do
what he needs to do? Yeah.
I think he likes contact, and I think that there are some players through history that, like, you know, Earl Campbell loved contact. A lot of guys like contact, like running into guys. He's going to learn, if he watches tape and he studies and he's a good player trying to learn his craft, he's going to learn and start to see the one step, you know, I think Davis did it for the Broncos. He had one step to the cut, and he was gone. That's going to kind of be what Williams is going to have to develop into. He's not this shifty, you know, meaning guy. He's going to be the one-cut guy and go.
Well, Jeff, and here's the trick, and I think the better question is not does he have the speed to succeed. The question I would ask, and I'll ask you right now, Howard, does he have the vision to succeed? To
make vision.
Does he see that hole quick enough to become that one cut back, where he sees the hole fast enough, makes that one cut to get there?
Well, right now he's dealing with, you know, guys in his face.
Right.
So when you're dealing with guys in your face,
makes it a lot tougher.
You start to do more instinctive stuff. So instinctively, he's protecting himself by causing the contact. That's part of it. I don't think people realize when someone is looking for contact, they're doing it because they're trying to protect themselves. They want to be the guy who's delivering the blow when the contact comes. They don't want to be receiving blows. They think that you get hit, you get hurt, you get twisted down. But if I run over you or run into you, I'm delivering a blow. You're going to be not wanting to tackle me later in the game. And that's kind of how he's running. He played, you know, BC later in the games. He got stronger every game. And the reason he got stronger was because he kept delivering the blow over and over. And guys just didn't want to tackle that monster coming through the hole.
Jeff, finish up. What else you got?
Johnny, just one other comment for you, Johnny.
Yeah.
I don't want the Giants drafting any more running backs from the Big Ten. We've had enough disasters for that over the years, okay?
I got
you.
So, okay,
have a good day.
Appreciate it. So you can cross Melvin Gordon then off the list.
I would have drafted that kid from Michigan State last year. Can you imagine that?
Oh, Bell?
Whoa. Goodness.
Well, you know what? He lost a lot of weight in the offseason. How good does he look?
He's a monster.
Holy cow.
He's a monster.
He's a heck of a player.
Yeah, I like him. I think he turned out to be really good.
Yeah, I think he did too. Yeah, listen, I think Steelers fans think that also. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Yep. Hurry. Get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. And it looks like, unless something weird happens tonight, Howard, with Mark Ingram outscoring Alshon Jeffrey by 70 points, I should be heading to my fantasy Super Bowl next week. Very excited about that.
You fantasy football guys, man. You know what? You need to get some another job. I got like 3 jobs. I don't have time to play fantasy right now.
That's like the one recreational thing that I do. I work 3 jobs too.
Nah, I believe it. That's true.
201-939-4513. I can't have a little bit of fun, Howard.
You can. I guess you don't have an Xbox, so that kind of happens.
You know what? I actually did give up on the video game like 2 years ago.
That's what it is. So you give up on Xbox.
You pick and you choose.
Yep.
201-939-4513. I have basketball twice a week too.
Wow.
Now I know
I'd love to see you playing basketball.
Well, I remember seeing a video of you and Sperling when you did that shoot at that gym.
Yeah.
And you showed off the jump shot a little bit. You still have it left.
Oh, no, I don't have it left.
You got nothing?
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
Dude, basketball hurts everything.
Your knees, right? You can't do it?
Yeah. I dunked for my kids last year. They were like, you can't dunk. I'm like, I can dunk. They're like, you can't dunk. I'm like, I can dunk.
I can't dunk.
And I dunked. It wasn't the going up. It was the coming down. And it's a lot of me coming down, a lot more of me coming down than there used to be. It was a lot of pain there.
Oh,
gravity has not lost.
All right, we got 10 minutes. We got 2 calls. Let's get them in. Kashawn is in Maryland next. Kashawn, good morning. Long time no speak.
Good morning. Good morning, John. And Mr. Cross, it's a pleasure to speak to you. Hello.
Good pleasure to speak to you, too. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Well, first, let me just get right to it. The worst thing that the Giants can do right now is to keep winning. I mean, there's nothing that anyone can say to convince me otherwise.
Why is that, Kishon?
Is somehow good for the team. I don't want us to play ourselves out of a top 10 draft pick because, let's face it, we need the playmakers. And, you know, I'm looking at people that might be there, like Amari Cooper, who is a hell of a talent. You don't want to, you know, go finish the season 7-9 and then find yourself at number 12. I mean, for what? I mean, I just don't see the point of that. I also believe after seeing – I was at the game yesterday, by the way. And it was my
great
first time at,
did you have fun?
At the new Giants Stadium for a game because I was there for the Super Bowl. And
you
it was
had
really,
fun?
Really, very nice just to be around all those wonderful Giants fans. We do need to address the running back position because it's evident that Rashard Jennings cannot stay healthy. So I don't know if Marshawn Lynch would be – I would love to see him in blue, but we definitely have to address that running back position.
Kishon, I will say this. I will say this very quickly, Kishon, about Marshawn Lynch. I first of all, I'm not – look, he still looks good this year. But physical running backs that take a pounding, you wonder when they start to decline. And then in terms of how he treats the media – that might be a little bit of an issue here in New York. He might get a lot of bad press for stuff like that. And you know what happens, Howard, when the media
too,
turns on you.
He was a gem, and Strahan, he used to say, you know, smart things to the media. So I don't. I think
true.
We can circumnavigate that. I mean, the type of production he would give it to on the field, I mean, who cares if he doesn't want to do interviews? Just, you know, have him write him down. Have him write his responses down.
I like it.
And last, I just want to say this. Odell Beckham, it's evident he is a constant. I really like him. And John, I wanted to give you kudos because I remember earlier in the year you were talking about Dez Bryant, and I remember we were saying that how we wanted Corey Washington and why put him in the red zone when it's clear that we're throwing to him. And immediately when I was at the game, I said, gosh, I said, the Giants keep throwing Odell Beckham, and the Washington Redskins aren't doing anything. And I immediately thought of you because you said it doesn't matter what you do. If you have a playmaker, you can tell the defense, hey, I'm going to this guy, and there's nothing that you can do about it. So I'm really glad to see that no matter who the competition is, if it's Seattle, Washington, whoever, Odell Beckham is still producing. And so that gives me a lot of hope towards next year when we have both him and Cruz. But we still have to address the wide receiver position because I love Cruz, but you just don't know if he's going to be the Cruz again. So, again, I'll just leave with that. But please stop winning. It's just no point to it anymore. And there is some hope at the end of the tunnel, but we do have to address the whole entire defense. We need a whole new defense, and we do have to, you know, get about three more playmakers on the offense. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you, Kishon.
I don't think we only have 7 picks, though, so there's going to be a whole lot of replacing if we replace the entire defense.
Well, there is free agency.
Yeah, okay, that's
true. There is free agency.
That's true. As far as the running game goes and needing to address running backs, I think, again, you know, Rashard Jennings is banged up this year, but he hasn't been banged up his entire career. This is his first time.
Well, it's the first time he's been banged up for this long period of time, but he's also never gone through a full 16-game schedule as a
that's
starter
true.
Before.
That's true. He's probably never had this much contact before either.
He was basically a backup for, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew for much of his career. Then last year he took over in Oakland, what, about halfway through the season, I guess?
Yep. So that's going to come along. That'll develop more with the running game as the offensive line develops. As far as losing the rest of the games, I don't think we're made that way. I don't think athletes are made that
way.
No
one's made that way.
I think that you can kind of do it in
it's
baseball.
Not, by the way.
I think you can do it in baseball. I think you may be able to do it in basketball.
Well, just ask the Sixers.
Yeah, but not not from the Sixers standpoint, but like trying to get that draft pick or get higher in the lotto. I think they're not tanking on purpose, but I think that by putting certain groups of guys in, you know, putting certain groups of guys in, you get that chance. I think in football, when you put a guy in, that guy's playing like, okay, this is my chance.
Well, and also, it's such a physical game, Howard. You don't want – I mean, you're really going man-to-man with the person across from you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever, just from a personal ego pride standpoint, ever want to lose that one-on-one battle? You want to whip the guy in front of you, don't you?
I will say this. 300 people in, 300 people out. That's the number of players that are going in and out of the league every year. 300 in, 300 out. That's usually the number. So when you know, in all respects, if you're the player – who they're saying, hey, lay back a little bit. Let you know, so we need to get a draft pick. The draft pick they may get may be the guy that's going to replace you. So there is no give up.
Exactly.
No room for error when you're playing out there. You got to give all you got. Because if you go soft also, you can also get hurt. You got to play hard the whole time.
Final call of the show at 201-939-4513 is Shakes down in Baltimore, Maryland. I haven't heard from Shakes in a while. What's going on, Shakes?
What's going on, John? Hey, what's going on, Howard, man? First time talking to you, but it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
I appreciate all the years that you played for us. True giant.
I appreciate that. That's nice.
That other word.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
See, now, here's the thing. I have to have Howard host a few more weeks so I can get people to start calling and yelling at you like a regular host and not just kissing your fanny. The whole time.
They can call and yell. I'm very well versed here, so I'm looking forward to people screaming at me.
Hey, you know me, John. I don't go easy on anyone.
No, that's true, baby. That's true.
You got to give respect where it's due.
And that's fair.
It's the first time I'm talking to him.
I hear you.
I'm pretty sure it'll be time for me to go off on him.
Go ahead, Shakes.
Here's the thing I wanted to go off on anyway.
Okay.
Y'all was talking about Tom Coughlin and how I respect your opinion.
Yeah.
And I agree, and a lot of us that do want Coughlin gone, that mm-hmm. do, and me included, I do want Coughlin gone because I want a fresh start. And I'm
who are you going to get?
My reason why I want him gone is because the inability to play these young guys, he is afraid to play them every year. He was forced to play these rookies this year, just forced. And to me, I look at it. If
how
Victor
about last
Cruz,
year, Shakes?
If Victor Cruz didn't get injured, we'd be looking at ODB as the third receiver coming in.
I doubt that.
I'm telling you, that's the way Coughlin works. Even John said it earlier in the show. He thought there was going to be a slow process for ODB. And it's not because of ODB's talent. It's because the way we string along these young guys.
Actually, no, Shakes, that's not true.
If
you watch over the history of Coach Coughlin's career, the 2007 Super Bowl, a lot of rookies from the rookie class came in and played.
2007, Howard.
Just slow down. 2011, same thing. It's really up to the players when they come in what happens. It has nothing to do with Coach Coughlin. And I hate to do that to you, and I hate to do that to any fan, because a lot of fans believe the coach creates the coach. My favorite is Bill Parcells. Love Bill Parcells. I love the fact that fans to this day think that he was the greatest motivator of all times. Forget about that there was LT, Carl Banks, Pepper Johnson.
Harry Carson,
Mark Bavaro. A list of Pro Bowlers you have never seen on this team. He had to motivate them to play. I'm like, you had some of the best players ever put on uniforms playing for you. So Coach Coughlin has a group of guys that he's pushing, striving, driving, trying to get them to do everything and coach them the best he possibly can. Then it becomes a player like Odell Beckham who takes the responsibility upon himself to learn and want to get involved to get it done. It is never – And I'm going to tell you right now, Coach Coughlin will never make a tackle, never throw a pass, never kick or block a kick. He's a great guy, a lot of energy, but he is not an athlete.
And Shakes, I want to put it this way. What player on this team that was a young player that turned out to be a really, really good player, okay?
Outside
of Beckham.
Do
you think the Giants held back that they should have played earlier, but they didn't?
Hold on for a second. Outside of Odell Beckham Jr., name a player right now that's a young player that's performing at a level that should just be in the game all the time. You still there, Shakes?
First off, Richbury's playing out of position.
Yeah, but he's playing. But he's playing, Shakes.
No, that's not the question.
He drags guys along.
Give me a guy.
My third pick, Jay Bromley, can't sniff nothing on the field.
Who is that?
He gets two plays a game. Let me finish. Fourth, Andre Williams, he's forced in there. Kennard just got forced in there, just unleashed him.
Shakes.
Have we seen that, Burhey?
Burhey?
Fifth round pick. This is the things that I'm talking about, and I can go on and on.
Yeah, but see, Shakes, let me do this for you. No offense to the Giants players that you mentioned and everything. Some of them I don't know their names, and it's not because he's stringing them along and stuff. It's because they don't show up, and not in a mean way. They're still growing and learning as they come along. And if they don't show up, and if I don't know them, that may be a problem. That may, just because you know their name and you saw they got drafted, does not mean they have the ability to play. Case in point, Johnny Manziel. I mean, you can't say that a guy got drafted and we're going to bring him on, we're going to stick him in the game. It's like the kid Wynn, who's playing now, that's my favorite kid that came in. This kid came out of nowhere.
Right.
When they finally,
they just gave him some burn.
Yeah, yeah, but they put him in the game because they've been trying to get him into the game. They've been trying. A guy that can't make himself available, meaning that they can't give him the opportunity to even dress out because he hasn't shown enough to be there. You know, a kid that's learning, a kid that's studying, a kid that, you know, you work your way onto the field. That's players' responsibility. That's not. When I came in the league, they did not want me to practice. The older players, because they knew if I started practicing, they saw enough of me in practice, and they're like, oh, man, he'll be in the game. We're trying to keep guys out of the game. When I had guys behind me, I played every preseason game. I played every play. I did not want them on the field because I know once you let them on the field, they start playing. Veterans should want to play always. But, you know, you have to have young guys who are like myself, like Odell Beckham, like a lot of guys. I'm not the same kind of player as Odell by any stretch of the imagination.
You're a little faster, right?
Yeah, right. Only to the refrigerator. But it's guys that want to play and keep pushing and edging and trying to get into the game and keep trying to learn, who are asking questions, who are the first ones here in the morning to get that extra workout in, that extra tape, who are the last ones leaving to watch that last clip of tape with their teammates, trying to get into the room and figure things out, who are, you know, they're not really worried about. A great player that I think of when I talk about things like this is J.J. Watt. He goes, I can do all the partying, hanging out with supermodels and dancing when I retire. I'm going to earn every dollar I can earn while I'm playing because this is my time. And I have a short window to do it.
Yeah, Shakes.
He's got it.
And Shakes, there's no guarantee that Kerry Wynn was ready to go out there and play 6 weeks ago. You know, Devon Kennard was dealing with a hamstring. He missed practice for 3 weeks. That sets a young guy back.
Kennard was actually starting and hurt his hamstring and then had to come out. So, again, it's the impression that you may be getting. The young guys have to step up.
I get that. I get all y'all points, and it's a great point. But here's my last thing I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know, these young guys, just like y'all said earlier, man, they rejuvenate the whole team, man. Even those older guys get rejuvenated, and they get re-energized from these younger guys. I ain't saying start them, but I'm saying let them get significant amount of burn, too, man. It would be good for the older guys and the younger guys. That's why I want Coughlin going. I want a fresh start.
Well, there is a
thanks for taking my call, though.
Thank you, Shakes. Good to hear from you, brother.
No problem, Shakes. But I will say this on the back end of what Shakes said. There is a team that rotates their teams like that. I think it's maybe Carolina somewhere where they play their starters first, and they rotate the whole group in next to play behind. And in almost every situation, when they rotate that second group in, the team starts to gain yards quicker. The team moves or the team can't do things faster. The only group of guys that don't really change are the offensive linemen. Everybody else and the quarterback. Everybody else kind of rotates in and out. They change positions. You got your cover corner, your non-cover corner. You got the rush linebacker versus the pass linebacker. You have all these different guys. The offensive line and the quarterback are the only two guys, only two positions kind of that really don't change. What he's saying, I get, I understand. Young guys getting in the game. But young guys have to play themselves into the game.
And now let me say this, too. From a logical standpoint, from the coaching staff, whether it's Tom Coughlin or his assistants, this will be the last point we make before we say goodbye, a little over time. But these coaches have seen articles written about them all year about how everyone's getting fired after the year, right? They've been reading those stories all year long.
Okay.
They can block it out, but they hear it, they see it. Mm-hmm. Why in God's name would they leave a guy on the bench that they know is better and can help this team win games and therefore help them keep their job just for the sake of leaving on the bench? If they think a guy is good enough to play and is going to help the team and is better than the guy in front of them, guess what? They're going to play him, right?
I think from my standpoint, you're always in a self-preservation mode. If you have a star player who isn't playing well, you'd go try to get him off the field and get a young guy in. I think that's what everybody would do. It's just not just these guys. It's guys all around the league.
Howard, good times, my friend.
Same here.
That's Howard Cross. I'm John Schmelt. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. We'll see you tomorrow. It is Lance Meadow and Jeff Fegels, and I'll pass on all those insults you threw at Fegels over the past week or so.
I can't beat Fegels at golf. I got to pick on him for something.
Oh, boy. Check out Lance and Feeks tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.